Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from Volume 4 of Harper's Magazine, published in 1852. There is a name which all nature seeks. The flower that opens from the bud, the light that breaks the cloud into a thousand forms of beauty, is calmly striving to assume the perfect glory of its power. And the child, whose proud laugh heralds the mastery of a new lesson, unconsciously develops the same life impulse, so as to prove the power it has felt as its own. This is the real goal of life shining dimly from afar, for our fullest power has never yet been attained. It is a treasure which must be sought, its extent and distance being unknown. No person can tell what they can do or suffer until they have tried. Their path of action broadens out before them, and while the path appears, there is power to traverse it. It is like the fabled hill of genius that ever presents a loftier elevation above the one attained. It is like the glory of the stars which shine by borrowed light, each seeming source a tributary to one more distant, until the view is lost to us. We only know there must be a life-giving center, and to the steady mind, though the goal of life be dim and distant, its light is fixed and certain, while all the lesser aims are but reflections of this glory in myriad descending shades, which must be passed, one by one, as the steps of the ladder on which we mount to heaven. People have an unfortunate predilection to pervert whatever God throws in their way to aid them, and thus turn good to evil. The minor hopes which spur us to action are mistaken for the final one, and we often look no higher than some mediocre wish, allowing that to rule us which should have been our servant. From this false view, in turn, rises little exertion, for it is impossible for us to believe in something better. We all aim at self-control and independence while in the shadow of a power which controls us, whispering to ourselves, "Thus far shalt thou go, and no farther." But how apt is self-indulgence to suit this limit to its own measure, and suffer veneration and doubt to overgrow and suppress the rising hope of independent thought. "I am not allowed to know this or to do this," is the excuse of the weak and trivial person. What we should be saying is, "Can I know or do this?" We may not know the events of the future or the great first cause, but we may hope to see and combine the essence of things, pierce the realms of space, make the wilderness a garden, attain perfection of soul and body. And for this our goal, we may master all things that are needed. Know you this, there is nothing possible that faith and striving cannot do. Take the road and it must lead you to your goal, though it be strewn with difficulties, and winding through pain and shade. If each of us would strain our energies to gain what we have dared to hope for, we would succeed. For, since that which we love and honor is in our nature, it is to be drawn forth, and what is not there, we cannot wish for. Our greatest drawback is not that we expect too much, but that we do too little. We set our worship low, and let our highest powers lie dormant. Thus we are never masters, but blind men and women stumbling in each other's way. As maturity means self-controlling power, those who lack this quality are childish and must submit, infant-like, to be controlled by others. This guidance we must feel in our upward course through life and be grateful for the check. But as we each have our own work to do, we must eventually look beyond help to independence. The student receives aid in learning, that they may one day succeed by their own power. The individual who seeks for themselves no path, but merely follows where others have been before, may find the road not long and free of obstacles, but they do and gain nothing. The person who bows to difficulty, settling at the foot of the hill, instead of struggling to its top, may get a sheltered place, a snug retreat. But the world in its glory they can never see, and the common air from the low ground they must forever breathe. They may rest in perfect comfort, but the health that comes of labor will fade away. The trees of the forest were not planted that we might pass round and live between them, but that we might cut them down and use them. It is hard work and toil that produce greater levels of happiness. Would you be powerful and bid your genius help guide your fellow citizens? Then you must toil to gain the means to do so. Would you pour a golden truth upon the page of life? Then you must seek it from every source, weigh the relations of life, and concede to its wisdom, that you may best apply it. For the proverb must be written in a fair round hand, that the common folk may read it. Would you picture the life of humankind or nature? Then you must go forth with heart and eye alive, never turning away from the saddest notes of human woe, or the coarsest tones of vice. You must watch the finest ray of light, and mark the falling of the last withered leaf. Would you be actively benevolent? Then winter cold nor summer lassitude must stop you. In season and out of season, you must be ready. Injured pride, wounded feeling, must not unwind your energy, as you stoop to learn from the simplest lips the nature of those wants to which you would minister. In all accomplishment there is difficulty. The greater the work, the greater the pains. There is no such thing as sudden inspiration or grace, for the steps of life are slow, and what is not thus attained is worth nothing. At school we learn that when one difficulty is surmounted, another is presented. Mastering addition would not do. We also had to learn subtraction. So it is in life. A finished work is a glory won, but a mind content with one accomplishment is childish, and its weakness renders it incapable of applying the work to greater and future things. A little sphere ensures but little happiness. When those who would seem to be men and women are children in endeavor, we see that God's will is not done. The greatest of humankind have asked and taken guidance in their rising course through life, and own their inferiority without shame. But it is the poor heart that looks to be inferior forever, who abandons the difficult path upward for a warm shack in the foothills. The individual who begins with a penny in the hope of thousands will grow wealthier than the aimless crowd with their snug annuity. For while the largest wealth that is not earned is limited, the result of ceaseless toil is incalculable, since the progress of the soul is infinite.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
I've been able to live my normal lifestyle, and I've lost 20 pounds already. It changed my life.
I wasn't expecting it to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.